We're going to talk about quiet time. Okay, Paul, if anybody else tries to come in, would you hit them over the head and send them down? This is part of my family. This is Brian Kennedy. Brian is a CEO of a company that employs about 2,000 knowledge workers in Dallas. And you have offices in various countries and all over the place. He was the COO for a couple of years, and then he was promoted this last year. Can you hear me all right over there in the back? Okay, if my voice goes down, do a signal, and I'll try to get the voice level back up. Norm and I have been married for 45 years. I used to say we've been married, happily married for 20 years. 20 out of 30 is not bad. And it takes a while to get that, but did you get it, Craig?
I got it.
Okay.
I understand it, too.
So we've got four children. The oldest is Mark. And how old is Mark?
45.
So we have four children, and they're boy, girl, boy, girl. Now, you may have sensed from that I was in the family planning business. I was a computer operator. And so our plan was every other year, every other kind. Boy, girl, boy, girl. Every 2 years. So you're 45, 43, 41. Are you 41? And 39. And once in a while they get out of kilter. They don't all have their birthdays just exactly right. But we put a halt in our program because I read in the encyclopedia that one of every five babies born in the world is Chinese. So we closed our womb. But if I'd realized later on, I'd be spending a lot of time with Chinese people. And in fact, if you can be in love with a race of people, that would be me. Everything from the food to the location. It's, you know, I should have been a Chinese person, and maybe Brian, who can speak Chinese, probably has the same situation. But if I'd kept on with families, I would have now a 39-year-old Chinese boy. But we stopped it there. And Brian is going to open us with reading something. It's basically a prayer. And it's called "Think of Our Lord Speaking to You." And why don't we stand for this? And Brian is going to read it as a prayer. This will get us started.
You do not have to be clever to please me. All you have to do is to want to love me. Just speak to me as you would to anyone of whom you are very fond. Are there any people you want to pray for? Say their names to me and ask of me as much as you like. I'm generous and know all their needs. But I want you to show your love for them and me by trusting me to do what I know is best. Tell me about the poor, the sick, and the sinners. And if you've lost the friendship or affection of anyone, tell me about that too. Is there anything you want for your soul? If you like, you can write out a long list of all your needs and come and read it to me. Just tell me about your pride, your touchiness, your self-centeredness, meanness, and laziness. Don't be ashamed. There are many saints in heaven who had the same faults as you. They prayed to me, and little by little, their faults were corrected. Don't hesitate to ask me for blessings for the body and mind, for health, memory, success. I can give everything, and I always do give everything needed to make souls holier. What is it that you want today? Tell me, for I long to do you good. What are your plans? Tell me about them. Is there anyone you want to please? What do you want to do for them? And don't you want to do anything for me? Don't you want to do a little good to the souls of your friends who perhaps have forgotten me? Tell me about your failures, and I will show you the cause of them. What are your worries? Who has caused you pain? Tell me all about it, and add that you will forgive and forget, and I'll bless you. Are you afraid of anything? Have you any tormenting, unreasonable fears? Trust yourself to me. I am here. I see everything. I will not leave you. Have you no joys to tell me about? Why do you not share your happiness with me? Tell me what has happened since yesterday to cheer and comfort you. Whatever it was, big, however small, I prepared it. Show me your gratitude and thank me. Are you determined to run into no temptations? Have you made up your mind about bad books, bad friendships? They disturb the peace of your soul. Are you going to be kind to the one who has hurt you? Well, go along now. Get on with your work. Try and be quieter, humbler, more submissive, kinder, and come back soon and bring me a more devoted heart. Tomorrow I shall have more blessings for you. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen. How many of you had something that spoke to you as Brian was reading that? If something spoke to you, just lift up your hand. That's 83%, give or take. Nathan, did you think of something?
I forgot to raise my hand.
Oh, okay. Anybody would care to share with us, with all of us, something that touched you from that, if you can remember it?
Just the part about, you know, come to me and just speak to me like you would, you know, a close friend or something. Uh-huh. Sometimes we try to posture ourselves in a certain way and think we need to, you know, do something to pray. God just wants us to pray.
Yeah. I was with Ron Ortley, who wrote the or developed the 2-7 series for the Navigators years ago. And he told me, he said, the prayer that is probably the best is prayer that doesn't sound like prayer. And I actually think I'd like to be called on to pray in church so that I could, and now, and I come in. Oh, more chairs. We can't have more than 30 people because that's how many handouts we've got. Or you have to guess what it says. I used to like to be called on to pray so I could pray in my most stentorious mode and with volume and, you know, so forth. But I realized that later on that God is not impressed with theatrics, but only with the heart. And so that... For me, that verse, or that little, it's just a little pamphlet called Think of Our Lord Speaking to You. My wife has Alzheimer's. And some of you, how many of you have been touched by a family member or someone that's only 13%? So I worry about it. But just as Brian was reading that, he said, do you have something you're worried about? And it's kind of like the Lord just poured in some stuff somewhere down in my heart that affected that fear that I have. So it's a great and wonderful experience in one way, because we get to trust God every day more than we have our whole life up to then. Just understanding what to do next, what to do last, how to improve. You know, and if you talk to 10 people, you get 12 opinions about what to do, and people give you things to drink and eat and so forth. So I appreciate getting to hear that, Brian.
Do you have any extra copies of the prayer that we could take with us?
I don't.
Like we could get a hold of that.
I don't. But if I tell you what, if you'll write on it like a little piece of paper your address and put on there, Think of Our Lord, then I'll mail one to you. Because I don't think of a good way to do it around here.
Okay. Well, why don't I just send a piece of paper around whoever wants? One can sign on.
It's great. Yeah. Okay. You must be an engineer or something.
No, just a navigator.
Okay. The first thing we're going to do is have a true/false test. It's kind of like a quiz. And while we're passing this out, if you would get yourself in groups of three, because I want you to do the test, but then I want to, by yourself, but then I want to talk, you to take some time to talk about it. So get yourself in groups of three, no more than three. It can be two. And we'll pass all these out. Pardon? Okay, you look like you're pretty smart people back there, so. There are 26 people and 30 tests, so you'll just keep passing it back and forth. Take one whenever it comes by, unless you already have. Okay, get started.
Of these questions, or would it be for generally for anybody when you say true or false, the way we would answer that?
Did anybody need one? There's some left over. Doug, explain the question.
Well, when I'm like the first one, is it mandatory to write down your thoughts or you will lose the intent? Is it for me personally?
Yeah.
I'm answering that, or just for generally for anyone?
Well,
for,
if you have, if there's an, if there's a, division between your thoughts to go with what's for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I got started on it. Okay, now you're supposed to do this all the way through by yourself. And then talk about it. So don't borrow your... And there may be some of these that they're not true and not false, so put TF on those. Anybody need a pencil? Let's see, I've got one for Paul. Oh, you know what? That's my only pencil. Timeshare with... I have a pencil. Let me see if I can see. Number seven. Is anybody down that far yet? All right, good. I'll tell you what it ought to say. The question is impossible to understand. The ideal printed material to use during a quiet time that you typically follow is a world-class book or CD or cassette that follows a clear and tested and proven teaching.
World-class.
I was having unbelievable difficulties with my computer last night. It bore out the statement I've heard: if you're in a hurry to do something, don't let any machinery that may be in earshot know about it. because machinery knows we're busy and in a hurry, and it'll kill you. Okay, keep working. Take the test. Yeah, if you're, when you, as soon as you finish it, discuss it. Okay, have you got your answers there?
It's not mandatory, but it really helps
me. No, we're going to talk about it. Number one is probably. But it's not mandatory to write them down. If you, so it's not. Is that what you put? The ideal duration for a quiet time is 7 minutes. It's false. Start with a habit, but gradually learn it. The Old Testament, the quiet time procedure, move on to maturity of new ideas. False. Without writing down, you can't remember the blessing. Can't. Huh? I put true. It takes about 3 weeks to form a habit. It really doesn't matter what time of day the quiet time is held. I put true. Let's see, Melvin. Matters to you? Okay, we're going to discuss these in just a minute, and then we'll do the expectations. Have your quiet time with others whenever possible. Yeah, it really, it's not quite, it doesn't quite qualify as a quiet time if others are. Yeah. Doing a regular quiet time is a fail-safe indicator of a true believer. Okay, that's good. We're in agreement.
Thank you.
I think having others periodically is okay, because it really depends on other people's ideas. They're getting other scriptures.
I do too.
You guys finished? Finished? You finished back here? Did you all have a total agreement? Eventually? That's a special signal that means our time's almost up. That's how we whistle down in Chickasha. Two notes at the same time.
Sounds like the wind blowing. The wind upstream is not the plane.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Okay, if you're not finished, hurry up. You got less than a minute left. Okay, let's discuss this briefly. I'll read it and somebody tell me what the answer is. It is mandatory to write down your thoughts or you will lose the intended effect. Is that false or true?
It's true. True for me.
Okay, did everybody put true?
No.
How many put false? Okay, one of you that put false, why would you say you did that? Craig, how about you?
Well, I don't guess anything's mandatory to me, but I sort of think it's the best practice. I've had quite times where I didn't have something to write with if I was on the road or something like that. It's still a good quiet time.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. So it's not mandatory to write down. It's a good idea, but it's not mandatory. In fact, it's a very good idea. Okay, the ideal duration for quiet time is 7 minutes. True or false? False? Everybody put false? Now, we are going to do a pamphlet here in just a minute. We're going to work on this one. It's 7 minutes, but it's not necessary. It's not the ideal duration. Okay, number three. Start with a habit, but gradually eliminate the quiet time procedure and move on to maturity with new ideas. I put false. All right, good. Number four, without writing down, you can't remember the blessing. Is that true? I put true down for me just because it is so strong to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about journaling and how to go about doing that later on. Are we on number five? It takes 3 weeks to form a habit. Do you agree with that? How long does it take, Doug?
Longer than that for me.
Okay.
You know, I can't say how long specifically, but it's longer than 3 weeks.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Any other comments on that?
It doesn't take that long to form a bad habit.
That's
sort of a minimum. Some people, that's kind of what they tell you. You know, it's kind of the minimum to form a new habit.
But
it isn't a set.
Yeah, that's good. Good thoughts. The ideal, this is so bad that I almost don't want to use it here. Because I was typing last night, I couldn't see the words. Oh, well. The ideal printed material to use during a quiet time system that you follow is a world-class book or a CD or a cassette that follows a clear and tested and proven teaching. False. What is the right answer? What is the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skip six.
Oh, it really doesn't matter what time of day the quiet time is held. How many put false? How many put true? Oh, sort of this side and that side. Let's see, Brian, what did you put?
True, false.
He cheats. I found that out. I put down here, C. Melvin. When I came to Christ, I started having a quiet time. I'm going to tell you about it in a few minutes. And a friend of mine came around about the same time, and we had been friends for years and church together. And, boy, we came to be in love with God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and everything. And he always would have his quiet time before he went to bed. And I had mine when you're supposed to, which is in the morning. So we had this little debate. It was polite, but a little debate. But he's gone to walk with God in ways that's just amazing. So it really did not matter for him. What matters is your heart, your availability. And I told him one day, I said, well, now if God tells you to have your quiet time, you'll do it, won't you? He said, I promise I'll do it. Have your quiet time with others whenever possible. False. Because it's something different when you have a second person coming in, and a third and a fourth. And doing a regular quiet time is a fail-safe indicator of a true believer. That's false, too. Okay. Brian is going to fill out a chart up here of what I expect to get out of this workshop. So think about that for a minute while he gets fired up. And we'd like to make a list of 8 or 10 items that you would like to have cleared up or understand, or what you'd like to get out of this, something you might want to know or to do or to be. So let's just help him think. Oh, I was going to spell it, but I wasn't real sure I could spell it all the way out. So expectations. If we have no expectations, we can just get out the dominoes and... Paul Purifoy.
I'd like to know how your quiet time has changed through the years, or if it has changed.
Okay. What else? Next. You don't have to have thought about it ahead of time. You can think about it right this minute. Because we're not going on until we get at least 8.
I would say improve my drawing closer to Jesus.
Okay.
Just learning how to pray for a long time without just getting distracted or...
You know, I might be able to handle this one real quick. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray out loud or to yourself?
I guess under my breath, because I don't want to wake up the kids. Uh-huh.
I have found, and I have checked this with a lot of people, that there's an increased level of capacity if you pray out loud. And I talked to Lawrence Sanney about this, who was president of the Navigators for 30 years. He said, well, you haven't really prayed unless you say something. Because prayer is always acquainted with, or coupled with words. And if you just read through the book of Psalms, and hear me, hear my words, not hear my thoughts, hear my under the breath. So I had started my Christian life with going into the back bedroom and going into the closet. And I had about 3 layers between me and the kids. And I talked out loud. And then I somehow got into a period of praying, you know, just under my breath, I think is the way you put it. And I lost effectiveness and focus. And so now I'm back on praying out loud. I think there'd be people in both camps. But if you've had difficulty to have distractions, and if you have to build another wing onto your house, it's that important. Okay, other things.
The pros and cons to a
Have a what?
Constructed quiet time, whether you have to have, you know, certain things, you know, just different subjects, things like that. Just
like as in real a structure?
Yeah.
Talking about on that one question, start with the habit, gradually eliminate the quiet time procedure. Well, I was interpreting that as being given like a little form to pray and then, you know, there's little forms like and then pray for this person or that kind of and sort of thing. And then I thought it meant then you can stray from that, kind of be more free to do. It doesn't mean give up reading the Bible or give up reading or praying, but some people get a little prescribed formula, and that I thought it meant you could stray from that with some, you know what I mean?
Is this the kind of format thing you're talking about?
Well, yeah, that being
there's seven days
part
here.
Of just saying now you got to pray for other yourself and then for others, it's part of it, but you can switch it around, you know,
okay.
The idea of whether you have to, but I don't know.
Can you write something down on that?
I don't know, it's the idea. It's the idea.
I will, I'll think of it.
I don't know. Is it a formula or a format that you have to do? Because, you know, they have that in 2-7 that we've done. But I don't know. I don't do it that way anymore. I can write down my thoughts with not having to follow their guideline.
Okay, Brian has got a good answer. He'll give that to you in a little while.
There you go. Freedom versus format.
Okay, another.
It's how to get in the right mindset that makes quiet time a priority. Because for me, for a long time it wasn't, so I just get busy enough to it.
Okay, good. And your name is
Molly.
Okay. Any others? Okay. Let me tell you my the story of me getting started on quiet time, and then we'll go on to a demonstration of using actually how to use this with somebody. When I was younger than I am now, I moved to Oklahoma City, and I met Gene War. How many of you know who Gene War is, that name? It's a pretty popular name. I've thought about changing my name now, but no. So I went to church, and I met Gene War, and after the class was over, I went up to him, I said, "Do you believe all this?" Now, I had been attending church after church after church. We attended probably 25 churches looking for the real thing. I knew that I didn't have it. And I knew that somebody had it. And if I ever saw it, I would know it and I could get it. But I didn't have it. And there was something missing in my life. It was like have you ever been driving down the road and there's a house that's been burned out and you can see right straight through the windows and everything to the backyard? That's the way I felt about my life. It was burned out, empty, just a waste. So I met Gene. I said, "Do you really believe all this stuff?" Because he had made some pronouncements about God and the Bible, and that was the closest thing I thought. So I said, do you believe all this stuff? And he said, "I'm betting my life on it." He kind of drew. In fact, he got closer than that probably, but not as close as Ken Humphries gets. And so I said, "Well, I'd like to talk to you." So he came by my house that week, and he said, "Well, how's your quiet time, Jim?" And I didn't know what he was talking about. To me, that was a strange. I didn't know what that was, but I made up some answer, which is typical of me. If I don't know what I should say, I just make something up. And he said, "Well, here, read this. It'll do you good and help you some." Now, help is something that happens to you if you're in Oklahoma. It's very akin to help. So he gave me this, and I it was just like this, and I maybe it was green colored, I'm not sure. But I read it, and it was just like it was on fire. Just like every word had this deep meaning for me, and I just get out of breath reading it. And I carried it with me. I was selling computers, and I was in a lot of different office buildings. And when I got on the ground floor, I pressed the elevator to go up to the ninth floor, and I could read about half a page. And I read it, and I just read it over and over. And I bet I had read it 25 or 30 times. When Gene asked me to go with him to Dell City or Midwest City for talking to some people about a Christian leader that he knew who had written a book, and so they invited him to come, and he invited me to go with him. And after it was over, he said, "Now, if any of you would like to get started having a quiet time, having a relationship with God that is dynamic and tangible and real, then you can either come and talk to me or you could talk to my friend Jim Kennedy." Now, Jim Kennedy, that's me. I had been a paratrooper in the Army. I was a mine warfare and demolitions expert. I'd gone to Harvard Business School and got an MBA, and I just always done the most exciting thing I could think of, whatever it was. I just, oh, there, that's wild. Go for that. But this succeeded or exceeded all my expectations from previous days and previous things I had thought about who God was. So I was just so in love with this pamphlet. Well, this guy comes up to me. I'm shaking. He says, "Can you tell me how to start a quiet time?" I said, "Yep." And I pulled out my 2.7, which I'd been, it was sort of, I'd been carrying it with me all over the place for these three or four weeks. And so I said, "You do a half a minute here and a half a minute there and a minute and a half there." And that tells you in here how to spend a 7-minute quiet time if you wanted to spend 7 minutes. And so he said, "That is good. I've been trying to serve God all these years through going to committee work, and it's all empty, and you've given me what I need to really get going." And I thought, man, this is great. So I got back in the car with Gene to drive back to his neighborhood, which is my neighborhood. And I thought, this is really interesting. Gene asked me, he said, "Well, how's it going with you?" I said, "Well, the thing that has meant the most to me in my adult life is captured in this little pamphlet," which I had given away by this time. And but the sad part is that what they recommend doing here, I've never done it. I've read about it, I've thought about it, I've talked about it, but I've never done it. And that's kind of my story of my life. So I told Gene this story that what I just told you, that I had never done it. And I asked him, I said, do you happen to have another one of those pamphlets by any chance? Boy, the conviction was running high on me. I was having more trouble thinking of words than I am right now. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I've got one." And he reached in his pocket and pulled it out like this. And he handed it to me. And when I took it, that's when I was saved. I can't prove it, but I think that's the way it happened. Because after that, I got up the next morning, and I looked all over, and I found this quiet place. I spread this out. I spread my wife's Bible. I didn't have a Bible. I spread her Bible out, and I started there, and I went through this in about 10 minutes. And the next day, it was 20. And by the end of the week, it was 30, 40, 50, 60, 2 minutes. I mean, 2 hours, 1 hour, 3 hours. What do you learn from my testimony?
Humility.
How do you mean? I'm not particularly humble guy, so thank you very much. But
you're being very transparent. You're sharing with us your failures, your faults.
Yeah.
Jim, what I hear is that though we can have an intellectual desire in our heart to know once we have the power of the Spirit motivating us, then we're not going to really make that connection.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Other thoughts? Something you learned from that testimony?
Well, for me, getting started is a matter of obedience, mm-hmm. and continuing is a matter of obedience. And we, you know, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't make us do it. So we have to, I have to make a choice to get to bed earlier, get up earlier. I've had my best quiet time in the morning also, too. So it's a matter of being obedient and making choices.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it was so difficult for me to get going on it and just read about it instead of actually doing it? Can I add something in there? I was afraid. I don't know what I was afraid of, but I was afraid. I was afraid to know God. I knew that. Another thing I learned about it is, and I'll give him A- on this, but he personally got involved with me to get this operational. He didn't do it right then on that on the spot that day. He handed it out. I don't tend to do that. I tend to go with it. If you read this, you've got to go take me too, because then I know what the feedback is, what the result. Okay, anything else that comes to mind?
It seemed like when you had some structure to follow in having quiet time, that really helped you. I don't know if perhaps before you didn't have, maybe you'd heard about, or you said you didn't hear much about quiet time, you didn't know what it was when he talked to you about it, right?
Didn't exactly know, and I knew it was some kind of religious thing.
Right,
but, yeah.
Right, but then having that pamphlet, you took it home, and then you started going through it, and so having that tool really helped you get started.
I took it like I was in the seventh grade and didn't know anything. I mean, I went precisely down this. I didn't get close. I went precisely down it. And it's kind of hard to pray with your eyes on your watch, but I tried my best to do exactly what it said.
And it was a tool that was easily followed. It was a simple, wasn't real complicated, complex.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take a lot of time to prepare to do it, but you could sit down and just go through it. And so having a simple tool really helped you get going on it.
Dawson Trotman, who started the Navigator organization, said it's the promises of God and a few tools. So you don't see hundreds of tools. You see a few tools. And they've been tested. The promises of God and a few tools. Okay, any other comment? Paul. Yeah.
That the time you really repented and believed was when you got that book and had your first quiet time.
I think it happened when I received the book from Gene Ward. Because it was something substantial, it's something I could point this minute to practically where we were in his 59 Buick Electra, and then I was motivated, I was empowered. Maybe I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the next morning, it was no problem. I couldn't sleep waiting to get up and go back there. Which, that was so different. Because I'd already had it for 2 or 3 weeks and hadn't done anything other than read it. But there's something that changed. And maybe it was Gene, maybe it was the Holy Spirit. Although Gene was kind of a second Holy Spirit for a lot of us. Yes.
Did your quiet time ever variate over the years, or in a time of crisis, or in a time?
Yes.
Like after 3?
Yes. I got mad at God about 3 years ago, and went for about a year without a quiet time. Okay, let's. Any other comments? Cry. No, it's not on the list. Brian, you asked me about my quiet time, and I've got something here that might be of help to you.
Okay.
So while we're doing this, I'll pass this around and everybody gets one. It's called 7 Minutes with God, How to Plan a Daily Quiet Time. And I'll just check the time here. It should just take us about 7 minutes to do this.
That doesn't sound too hard.
It's not too massive, is it? There's some meaning in every part of this, but I've got to tell you this one thing. It's by Robert Foster, who has a dude ranch up in Colorado Springs, or up in Colorado someplace. Everybody get one? And his wife had Alzheimer's, strangely enough, and I was not close, but close enough to know a little bit about his situation. So he was in his patio, and he looked down, and there was a. And he was trying to think about how long, because he had quiet times of varying size, and there was the short one, and the long one, and the medium one, and we looked down, and there was a 7-Up bottle. 7-Up, seven. That sounds about right. So it's funny how something that has this staying power was based on a bottle of 7-Up. Let me read the first paragraph, and then you read the second paragraph, and we'll just alternate.
Okay.
If anything comes to mind, that a question, just ask, and I'll see if I know it. It was in 1882 on the campus of Cambridge University that the world was first given the slogan, "Remember the morning watch."
Students like Hooper and Thornton found their days loaded with studies, lectures, games, and bull sessions. Enthusiasm and activity were the order of the day. These dedicated men soon discovered a flaw in their spiritual armor, a small crack, which if not soon closed, would bring disaster.
And what was going on in their life about this time?
They were students.
Yeah, and they were loaded.
Busy.
Yeah, busy. Are you pretty busy?
Pretty busy, yeah.
Well, being the CEO of a major company there and all that that brings, and yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Okay, they sought, it's my turn, is it? They sought an answer and came up with a scheme they called the Morning Watch, a plan to spend the first minutes of a new day alone with God, praying and reading the Bible. Can I just ask you a question that goes right there?
Sure.
What tends to be the first thing that comes to your mind that you'd like to do, besides quiet time, that occupies your thought process?
Like when I wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
I'd like to get some more sleep.
Would you like to go for a run?
Yeah, exercise is high on the list. Uh-huh. Coffee, breakfast,
yeah.
And the worries of the day pretty much hit me the minute I hop out of bed.
Yeah, everybody's got your phone number, wants to get a piece of you. Okay, go ahead. Take the next one.
The morning watch sealed the crack. It enshrined a truth so often obscured by the pressure of ceaseless activity that it needs daily rediscovery. To know God, it is necessary to spend consistent time with Him.
Mm-hmm. I'll read on. The idea caught fire. A remarkable period of religious blessing followed and culminated in the departure of the Cambridge Seven, a band of prominent athletes and men of wealth and education for missionary service. They gave up everything to go out to China for Christ. Have you ever thought about going over to be a missionary? This is not an offer. I'm just wondering.
No, not at this point.
I always thought if I surrendered myself to God, that He would send me to Pango Pango. I don't know where I got that. I don't even know where it was. But I found out later on when I did surrender and God sent us our whole family to New Zealand to live, Pango Pango is on the way there. But these men found that getting out of bed in time for the morning watch was as difficult. Am I supposed to be reading this paragraph?
I like it when you read
it. No, go ahead. You take it.
As difficult as it was vital, Thornton was determined to turn indolence into discipline. He invented an automatic foolproof cure for laziness. It was a contraption set up by his bed. The vibration of an alarm clock set fishing tackle in motion, and the sheets clipped to the line moved swiftly into the air off the sleeper's body.
Thornton wanted to get up to meet his God.
The intimacy of communion with Christ must be recaptured in the morning quiet time. Call it what you want, the quiet time, personal devotions, the morning watch, or individual worship. These holy minutes at the start of each day contain the inner secret of Christianity. It's the golden thread that ties every great man of God together, from Moses to David Livingstone, the prophet Amos to Billy Graham, rich and poor, businessmen and military personnel. Every man who ever became somebody for God has this at the core of his priorities, time alone with God.
Would you mind reading that last sentence again?
Sure. Every man who ever became somebody for God has this at the core of his priorities, time alone with God.
Ryan, do you want to be somebody for God?
Yes, I do.
Is it a strong enough desire that you do it regardless of opposition, difficulties, problems?
I'd like to think that I would.
So far, so good, huh?
Yeah.
David says in Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." That does something to me, just thinking about that. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. A fixed and established heart produces stability in life. Few men in the Christian community have this heart and life. Wow. One of the missing links has been a workable plan. Somebody mentioned that earlier. A workable plan on how to begin and maintain the morning watch. Let me read that next paragraph because it's...
Sure.
I want to suggest that in order to get underway, you start with 7 minutes. Perhaps you call it a daily 7-up. There you are. 5 minutes may be too short, and 10 minutes for some is a little too long. Okay, and Brian?
Are you willing to take 7 minutes every morning? Not 5 mornings out of 7, not 6 days out of 7, but 7 days out of 7. Ask God to help you. Lord, I want to meet you the first thing in the morning for at least 7 minutes. Tomorrow when the alarm goes off at 6:15 a.m., I have an appointment with you.
Your prayer might be, morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. How long did that take to read that prayer? That prayer.
I don't know, maybe 20 seconds.
Not much more than that, yeah. So we're not talking about, you know, difficult things. That you gotta just these simple little steps here can be used by God to enable you to walk with Him more closely. Yeah.
Well, would I just read a prayer like that, or do I say something different?
Yeah, just read it like it is. Just read it right straight out. One of the best ways to talk to God is using His own words. And that's what the whole Bible is. And especially the book of Psalms is talked about a relationship in a man and God. So I can go into the next paragraph. How do you spend these 7 minutes after getting out of bed and taking care of your personal needs? You'll want to find a quiet place, and there with your Bible, enjoy the solitude of 7 minutes with God. Do you have a place, Brian, that you could go?
Sure. Where,
tell me about it.
I have an outdoor living area in my backyard that's kind of quiet and away from the house. And that's a good place of solitude.
So what if you go out there and it's cold?
I've got other places in the house, but bring a blanket or a coat.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's the part one. Okay, read the next.
So invest the first 30 seconds preparing your heart, thanking for the good night of sleep and the opportunities of the new day. Lord, cleanse my heart so you can speak to me through the scriptures. Open my heart, fill my heart, make my mind alert, my soul active, and my heart responsive. Lord, surround me with your presence during this time. Amen.
Okay. Let's just add to what the Bob Foster has written for us. And I'll pray for like a half a minute, and you add something to it. Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay. Don't worry about all these people out here. We're on candid camera or something. But
okay.
Lord, cleanse my heart. There's no need to put that in there if the heart's not dirty. And I have a continual need for being cleansed. Thank you for reminding me that I could start every day with this expectation that God would, in fact, cleanse my heart, so I could speak to him through the scriptures and open my heart, open my eyes, open my ears, open my life. Now, Brian, if you'll just pray to God along some of those same lines.
Okay. God, I would like to know you better and understand you more and follow you. I ask that you would teach me through your word. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, you say something that it's not that we can speak to him, but we can speak to him.
Say that again.
You made the statement that so you could speak to after cleansing, that you could speak to him. Do you not mean that so he could speak to us?
Well, both.
Okay. I apologize. It's following.
No problem. Now take 4 minutes to read the Bible. Your greatest need is to hear some word from God. Allow the word to strike fire in your heart. Meet the author. Excuse me for getting carried away there.
That's all right. Okay, one of the Gospels is a good place to begin reading. Start with the book of Mark. Read consecutively verse after verse, chapter after chapter. Don't race, but avoid stopping to do a Bible study on some word, thought, or theological problem which presents itself. Read for the pure joy of reading and allowing God to speak, perhaps just 20 verses or maybe a complete chapter. When you finish Mark, start the Gospel of John. Soon you'll want to go ahead and read the entire New Testament.
All right, let's practice that too. So grab your Bible there. And we'll just do what he suggested. Read Book of Mark. But let's read Mark 4.
Okay.
Wait a minute, let me get over there. Matthew, Mark. Actually, I have a ladder on this. I'll show you how to do it one of these days. I could do it faster by that. Okay. Let's just read a couple of verses and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll read a couple more and talk about it. We'll do that for 4 minutes.
Okay.
Start. You want to start with Mark 1? Mark 4, Mark
sure.
4, verse 1.
You want me to read? Or?
Yeah, you can read, and then you read a couple of verses, okay. And then I'll read a couple.
Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." Want me to keep going?
No, stop there. That's 4 verses.
Okay.
Anything that stands out there, and we've asked God to open our ears and open our eyes. And so what is God speaking to you through that?
Well, I mean, it's... I guess I don't know what the rest of the parable is, so I don't know much, but obviously there were a lot of people following him.
Okay, let's go ahead.
All right.
Verse 3, listen, a farmer went out to sow. Where did you let off?
Verse 5.
Some fell? Mm-hmm. Okay. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Go ahead and start with, continue with verse.
Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times.
Okay, tell me what this parable is all about.
Well, he's telling a story about the impact that, I guess, soil has on crop.
Which is? What is the impact?
That the more receptive the soil is, the more bountiful the crop is.
Uh-huh. Good. That's good. Okay, anything else out of that portion?
Just that, you know, that there's multiple kinds of soil, and there's also things like birds or other forces that affect the growth of a crop.
Okay.
Sun, water.
Let me continue reading here in verse 10. Verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those who are on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but not perceiving, and ever hearing but not understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Wow. What are you thinking about?
Well, it sounds to me like somehow God allows some people to understand and see things and other people to not.
Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. It reminds me of how God is powerful and all-knowing. He knows who's going to respond. Let's go on from verse 13.
Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown."
Would you like to have fruitfulness like that?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So what do you need to do to have fruitfulness like that?
Well, it sounds like I need to be the right kind of soil.
Uh-huh.
And I also need to be conscientious of these things that tend to keep me from actually acting on what I've heard.
Is there anything in particular that you could think of, and you can, for the sake of our demonstration, you could go back to, you know, 10 or 15 years, that might get in the way of that happening?
Um, it's easy to listen to the voices of people around me and the world and just distraction. And I'll go to church and hear a good sermon and get excited about it, but it seems like by the time I get home, I've already forgotten what was spoken about.
That's right.
So I can kind of relate to this idea of falling away quickly.
I have something the first thing I go to in the morning that I tend to want to go to is email. And then the next thing is Velvet. Because Velvet's our dog. Velvet needs me. And Velvet jumps up on me in the bed and you know, I think, oh, she needs me. And it's as though anything just about that could come up does come up to try to divert me from this truth. Let's go to verse 36.
Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him.
Keep going.
Is that the one? Yeah. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?"
He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What grabs you out of those few verses?
Well, I mean, first of all, that I guess his power to command nature, but also the fact that it looks like his own disciples, even after he told this story, immediately forgot and were afraid. And they didn't have faith.
It's pretty scary. And I've got the red letter. You've got a red letter Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so afraid? That means that's the words of Jesus. Do you still have no faith? That was my condition, no faith. Okay. Let's thank God for speaking to us. And we'll move on with the rest of the Father, thank you for giving us the written word that we can be inspired by, be taught by, and I pray that you'd cause us to be open to every word that you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, start there on our pamphlet on After God Has Spoken. Okay.
You want me to start at that adoration?
Yes.
You now have 2.5 minutes left for the fellowship with him in 4 areas of prayer that you can remember by the word ACTS. A, adoration. This is the purest kind of prayer because it's all for God. There's nothing in it for you. You don't barge into the presence of royalty. You begin with the proper salutation. So worship him. Tell the Lord that you love him. Reflect on his greatness, his power, his majesty, and sovereignty.
C, confession follows. Having seen him, you now want to be sure every sin is cleansed and forsaken. Confession comes from a root word meaning to agree together with. Apply this to prayer. It means to agree with God. Something happened yesterday and you call it a slight exaggeration, but God calls it a lie. You call it strong language, God calls it swearing. You call it telling the truth, but about somebody in the church, God calls it gossip. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The T.
Thanksgiving. Express your gratitude to God. Think of several specific things to thank him for. Your family, business, church, ministry responsibilities. Even thank him for hardships. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah. What is something that you could give thanks for today, right now?
On my family.
That's good. Supplication means to ask for earnestly and humbly. This is the part of your prayer life where you make your petitions known to him. Ask for others, then for yourself. Why not include other people around the world like missionaries? Do you know any missionaries?
Yeah.
In fact, you went on a missions trip this year, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you could pray regularly for them. Somehow, when you pray one of these verses for missionaries, you're able to sort of be there, almost, in a sense, during the time you're praying for them. So it helps you to meet together with God at the same time. Let's put these 7 minutes together. There's a half a minute, prayer for guidance. 4 minutes, reading the Bible. 2.5 minutes in prayer. Go ahead and read it, Brian.
This is simply a guide. Very soon you'll discover that it's impossible to spend only 7 minutes with the Lord. An amazing thing happens. 7 minutes becomes 20, and it's not long before you're spending 30 precious minutes with Him. Do not become devoted to the habit, but to the Savior.
Do it not because other men are doing it, not as a spiritless duty every morning, but merely as an end in itself, nor merely as an end in itself, but because God has granted the priceless privilege of fellowship with Himself. Covenant with Him now to guard, nourish, and maintain your morning watch of 7 minutes. Could you do that? Get 7 minutes?
Yeah, I can.
Would you be able to start it tomorrow?
Yeah.
In fact, you could actually start it today if you didn't. Where would you go in that house thing behind your house?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, why don't I check back with you tomorrow afternoon and see how it went?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Now we're almost out of time. Brian's going to talk to us just a minute about journaling.
Dad asked me just to give a couple of thoughts on journaling and writing, and that we actually had a couple of questions about format and structure. So these are only my thoughts, probably a lot of great thoughts in this room. I know for me, if I don't take time to write, I have no ability to concentrate or fight off distractions. And so the real heart of quiet time, which for me is the lifeblood of my spiritual life, is writing. And there's a couple things that I've learned, I think, the hard way over a long period of time to get myself in that right frame of mind and to really make it an effective time of worship and learning versus a sort of a spiritual obligation or duty in the morning. And these are some simple ones, but I start out with a couple of verses. If you memorize verses, you just take a few of those verses and just two or three and look at them and meditate on them. If you haven't memorized verses, you know, as you come across a verse that jumps out at you, write it down and just keep it handy somewhere. But that tends to just get me in that frame of mind where I start to take my eyes off of myself and slowly begin to focus on God. The other thing for me is it takes me, I've learned, about 15 to 20 minutes just to clear my mind. And so I used to think, oh, I've got 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to go have a quiet time. And I just learned that doesn't work. I actually need to schedule in the 15 or 20 minutes of just sitting there, being quiet. And if something comes up that's a distraction, writing it on a piece of paper and setting it off aside so I know I can go back and address it later. And I spend a minute and pray, much like it says in 7 minutes with God, and I ask God for His Holy Spirit to fill me and for freedom from distraction. And gradually over those 10 or 15 minutes, I'm able to focus and then read. And then journaling, for me, started as writing just a couple of thoughts about a verse that I came across, something that jumped out at me, maybe an application. And over time, it's turned into really the way that I pour my heart back out to God is writing. So I take a book, and I have a whole bookcase of these books now that are just empty pages, and I write. And one of the things that I learned over time is to just be expressive and authentic. And if I try to impress myself with my own scriptural interpretation and those kinds of things as I read the Bible, it sort of turned into this clinical thing where I patted myself on the back because I came up with all these great insights.
into the Word. But if I write expressively about what I'm reading to God, it tends to become more focused on what I need to change about myself. What are my fears and worries and those kinds of things. And then that becomes this incredibly powerful record over time of how God has worked in my life and answered prayers. And I know for me, the times that, I think somebody mentioned this earlier, or maybe you did, Ted, when I can't write something down, it's really hard for me to even capture later in the day what I read or what I thought about. So it's just a simple habit that works well for me.
Any questions for Brian? Or on the process? If we had more time, we would get you working 2x2, 1x2, or 2x2, however you need to say it, and practice this here soon with somebody, even if it's pretend, like with Brian and me, to do that. I have a book. How many of you have a book about quiet time in your bookshelf? None have been written. Only this one. It was written by Bill Smith, a stockbroker in Little Rock. And as far as I know, there are just 4 copies left. And so I want to give you one of you this copy. How about you, Dan? Now, there's only 4 copies left in existence, and you've got one of them. So do something with it. And
so they're out of print, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, out of print. Bill died about 5 years ago. Now, I've got this other deal just as an award, but would anybody would like to have it? I haven't decided how to pass this out. David? Okay, David. This is a moleskin. Have you seen these before? It even has, it's pretty nifty. It even has a little place in the back where you can...
For journaling?
Well, what do you put in the back, Brian? Yeah, but it's kind of nifty. I'm sorry, the rest of you have to go home empty-handed. Or you can stop by Borders Books or any of those places they sell these things. Well, our time is up. Is there any comment that anybody would like to make or question that is a burning thought? Did we get some of these answered? Change over time. Brian, I asked Brian about this, and he started with something like this to begin with, but now he does something different. About 1 out of 5 or 6 will keep on following this. The others will change. Other people will change to something different. And when you've sort of come up with something that's kind of just between you and God, and it's real exciting. It's kind of like a little secret thing. So I won't even ask you to review what it is here, because that would run in magic. How do I use quiet time to get close to God? Just going through those verses does it for me. Prayer without distraction, that we've talked about that. Pros and cons of structured quiet time and free dispersive format have the same answer. Any other thoughts or questions that before we go and have our breakfast, our lunch?
Just to share something in the area of reading through the Bible, you know, during your quiet time. That's always been a struggle for me, is how to reconcile having a Bible reading plan and my quiet time, and how to work those out practically in my life. And so what I've decided to do is just combine them into one activity, where for my quiet time I read through the whole Bible. And sometimes some of these Bible reading plans, like when you read through in a year, I mean, it's way too fast for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't worry about a time frame on how long it takes me to read through the Bible for my quiet time. It usually takes me 2.5 to 3 years to get through the whole Bible, and I use a Bible reading plan. A lot of these year read through the Bible
mm-hmm,
things,
mm-hmm.
And I just check it off, so I know that I'm reading through the whole Bible, even though it takes me 2 or 3 years, and I'm having my quiet time,
too. But that's been a great help to me to try to bring those all together into one activity, mm-hmm. one time during the day. And so that way I get through the whole scriptures in 2 or 3 years, but yet I'm having my regular time with the Lord.
That sounds like a great alternative, a way of putting it, packaging it to such that so it's possible to continue to do that.
And I jump around from book to book. I don't, you know, try to read through the Bible, uh-huh. you know, from Genesis to Revelation, but I just kind of jump around wherever I feel like I want to do it, you uh-huh. know. So I could be in Revelation one day, and the next day I could be in, yep. you know, an Old Testament prophet or something.
Your experience is very much my experience. I feel like maybe Ron,
John.
John Brock has got something for us on this. Any thought? Okay. Any other comments about this stuff? Thank you, Doug. That's very good thoughts. All right. Well, I was going to mention to you, these cost $2 for 3 copies. Imagine that. But go by there and buy yourself 3. It'll cost you $2. And covet in your mind and with the Lord to get somebody else. Make sure your walk with Him is up to date. But then to find somebody else who you could help this way. Just as simple as the way Brian and I did it today. Okay, let's stand and close in prayer. Ted, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you, Lord, just for the privilege that we have of coming before you on a daily basis to spend time in your word, to talk with you, and to hear you talk with us. And so, Lord, I would just pray for myself that I'd make the right choices to be able to make the time available, and just pray the same thing for everyone here, that we would apply these things to our lives and that we would make time to spend time with you. To get to know you better so that we would reflect your glory greater to the people around us. We just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.